In 95, I was helpless, but through going into nature, I found a way to calm myself and to find happiness back in myself. In our schools, we learn about geography, we learn about mathematics and language, but we don't learn about happiness, strength, and health. And I am determined to bring that now. I do not fear to die, I do fear not to live. I live every day fully. I'm fully on, I'm a man on a mission. I want to make everybody happy, and I will show how to do it.
Join explorers and travelers on their journeys and discover distant places and fascinating cultures. From the highest peaks and densest jungles into the heart of adventure. This is Unfolding Maps with Eric Lawrence.
A fascinating journey into the power that the cold, deep breath, and commitment can unleash together. My guest today is a man whose life's passion might, if you have never heard of him before, sound a bit bizarre and obscure to some of you. Wim Hof is known as the Iceman, the reason being that he loves the cold and is able to endure the cold to an extent that was believed to be physically impossible before. For instance, Wim Hof has climbed Mount Everest to an altitude of 7,200 meters dressed in nothing but shoes and shorts. And he ran across the Namibian desert without any water. And he has set up 26 official Guinness World Records. For example, for the farthest swim under ice, with a single breath in this case. The farthest half marathon barefoot on ice and snow. And for the longest time, in direct full-body contact with ice. He spent 1 hour and 53 minutes in ice water while feeling good about it. I have to say, I myself am a pretty rational person. I'm more into understatement than overstatement, and I'm into science much more than, for instance, religion. And the passion with which Wim advocates his convictions can be a lot to absorb. But I suggest you open your mind just like I did, listen to him, and draw your own conclusions. What I will tell you is that in addition to his impressive variety of world records, some of his methods have by now been scientifically proven, including the health benefits. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Let's go. Hi, Wim. Welcome to the podcast, and thanks for taking the time.
Oh, yes. Podcast is a like experience. I love it, and there is no matter of time present. Experience is like timeless. Like when you are in love, you don't think about time.
Well, let's see if you still say that if we are still going in 4 hours from now, but maybe we can keep it shorter than that.
Once I go, I'm unstoppable. But the thing is, when it's done, it's done. And you can feel it. And then it's all right.
Yeah.
Good.
And I want to start this conversation with something that you have done, something very special. And I would like to start in the year of 2009. And this is the year you went to Africa, to a very special mountain, the Kilimanjaro. Had you ever been to Africa before that?
No. It was about the Kilimanjaro. And Kilimanjaro is the highest alone standing volcano in the world. It's almost 6 kilometers, and a lot of people were talking about it and had climbed it, but then in 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 days or 10 days. And I thought, no, I want to go in shorts up and then see as fast as possible, faster than the way they say it is possible. And that is beating the rules of the physiology of the acclimatization and see if I can do it. And yes, I did that. I went to Africa and out of the unknown, because I was not aware of how to do this, though I had been before on Mount Everest, and that was on into the death zone.
Yes.
Like Messna.
Yes.
Without oxygen, but I had no clothes as well. But that was an experience before. That was in 2004 or something. 2007. Doesn't matter. I decided to go to Kilimanjaro and to climb the mountain without acclimatization, which I had not done on the Mount Everest. So I had no experience whatsoever to go without acclimatization on a summit like the Kilimanjaro, which is almost 6 kilometers. But I did it. And into the unknown, I'm familiar in going into the unknown. It is a sort of a spirit, like I want to follow an idea, an image I get in my awareness, and then suddenly I get a hook on it. I'm going to do it. But it is unknown, never done, unprecedented, and I'm being led by a feeling of, I want to do this.
Do you remember when this idea crossed your mind for the very first time, this urge of wanting to do this?
Yeah, just actually always on the look, especially those times, to do something different than the normal. And always looking for challenges. And I, you know, it's beautiful to see many people trying to beat the existent paradigm, the existent way of what we think is possible, and challenge it and go for more. I think this is the nature of the true searcher of the soul in the life in humans. It's a drive. It's an irrational drive which goes past the fear. It is challenging the fear. It is challenging the paradigm. And that's what I did. And it is going into the unknown. You don't know what it is, but you are driven by a feeling that is stronger than your thoughts. And that was 2000, just a couple of months before I actually did it.
Nice.
I needed time because I had no money to raise money. So I went to people, to certain organizations, and tell them I'm going to climb the Kilimanjaro in a very fast time and beat what we think is possible with the acclimatization physiology, and beat that. Are you in? And most of the people just retreated. They didn't want to have anything to do with what I was doing. So it is always a hard time when you are not really known, or when you do things that are unknown, to get sponsorship of that for that. Because people don't want to link with something into the unknown. They think it is dangerous, that it will jeopardize their names. And yes, that way.
And yes, you wanted to fight the altitude, but you also wanted to fight temperature. I just want to reiterate, you mentioned it in passing, because you went up there not only very fast, but also in very few clothes, only in shoes and shorts, but no t-shirt, no jacket, nothing like that. Considering that, do you at all understand these, for example, companies and the hesitation, or also people and the hesitation in their reaction when you tell them about what you're about to do, when you are about to challenge the status quo like this?
Exactly. The status quo thought I was crazy. And I say, I'm now famous in the world, you know. Now I say on stage always, I'm bloody crazy. I'm crazy about my life and my wife. And that is not so crazy at all. So in life, I was considered to be crazy then, with only the stigma by the companies and the establishment and the status quo and all that. And I just... Yeah.
How do you think about this kind of skepticism? Does it frustrate you? Does it frustrate you, or do you understand it?
Yeah, back then it frustrated me, of course, because I could not get any sponsorship of nobody. I could not even really speak out to the people. I could not even reach them. Mm-hmm. They just blocked me out. And yeah, that has been quite an arduous process.
As was the actual ascent, and it only took you 2 days, as far as I know.
So 1.5 days, yeah.
How did the altitude eventually affect you? How did it feel to go up there that fast?
The last, from 5,000 meters up, I remember the Africans on 4,800 meters. And they knew me, apparently. They said, bravo, 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 the Iceman, the Iceman, the Iceman. I remember I went up there in old shoes of some of the porters because I had no real good shoes, apparently.
Yes.
And so I lent some shoes of a porter, a local porter. Those were old shoes. Doesn't matter, old shoes or not, I went up in the snow and to from 4,800 to the crater and from the crater to Uhuru Peak, 5,895 meter. And the last bit was like hard, like tiring, like you have a flu, like you have a flu. But that was only the last 400 meters up, last 400 meters. The rest was very calculated. And I say step by step. Just be with your mind step by step and your breath. And then suddenly, before I knew, I was suddenly up there. And there I was saying, yeah, the Uhuru, that means freedom. Here I am. Now I want to go home. Goodbye. So I went down again.
So how did it feel for you to reach the summit?
Reaching the summit, suddenly it was there.
Yes.
I can see myself now on the summit, like approaching the summit. And I thought, oh, just these plates there, like some planks nailed there. And that was the summit. Oh, is this the summit?
That doesn't sound like a big magic moment.
No, not really. It was the time to go down. And that it was. And then you begin to realize what you did. That while you go up, you are in the step by step, step by step, step by step. It sounds like a mantra. And that mantra makes you be in the moment, not in your thoughts, but in your body, in your step by step. And that is good because when your mind is in the moment, it is not interfering with the adaptation, with deep adaptation to the environmental stress. And that is what I've learned. And from there, just going up and to the top. And surprisingly, it was easier than I thought. Thought from the beginning. So there I was on top. I said something and we went down.
And we will, of course, get into how it was possible for you to do that and what the explanation is, because the ordinary way to consider this whole adventure is that it probably is not possible, or at least is very dangerous. So we will get into it. But first, before doing that, I'd like to take a step even further back to your school time. If I would have talked to one of your school friends, Wim, around the time that you finished school, and I would have asked them, what do you think will Wim Hof do in the future? What will become of him? What do you think they would have answered?
That Wim Hof needs to, he's a wild guy, and he needs to find himself, cool down, and settle.
In which way were you a wild guy?
Yeah, I was quite a wild guy, yes. Strong. Not over strong, you know, a body of 70 kilos. How strong is that? But I was actually very strong for the weight I had. And that it was because I trained a lot. I trained in all kinds of sport disciplines and was very flexible as well. I did 100 push-ups easy. And things like that made me very in my body. And my mind was kind of, searching, soul searching, restless, looking for more depth. And that I found very soon after moving from where I stopped my study, became a dropout of school when I was 17, say October. And then I went to Amsterdam. There I found a squat squat places where you do not really pay rent. You just occupy a house which is empty. And then you pay the gas and the electricity to the municipality. You stay in that squatting. They do that in Berlin as well.
Yes.
And, you know, all these big places.
What did you intend to do in Amsterdam when you moved there? Why did you move there?
I moved there because for me, that was the place of liberty, the place of free thinking. And I loved it. I think the best of my time I spent in my life when everything was difficult and stereotyped from where I came from my family, then going into school. And that didn't give me the real expression of life and understanding and expressing myself through music, poetry, painting, debating, philosophizing, doing sports and yoga and all things when yoga was completely unknown is when I did it. And that I did in the 8 years I was in the squatting place. And it was great, a great time. So I had a great time. I met a lot of people I could learn of, poets, free thinkers, painters, just a nice atmosphere because we lived with 100 people in a big former orphanage and everybody had didn't pay rent. They paid for the gas and the electricity and we maintained the building. And it was like a free-thinking dome. And I could sing in the hallways loud and with the echoes and and debate and philosophize. We had great dinners all together. It's very nice. It's not individualistic like in society. In society, everybody closes his door. And what happens behind the door, it's a family. And that's the way we live. And then we go to school. And we protocoled in that squatting place. Everybody was thinking freely, different. They knew they were, say, the outcast of society, rebellious of society, not wanting to be so stereotypical. And that brings a complete new way of energy thinking. I loved that feeling to be there. And I think when I am in Berlin, for example, because Berlin came from the west and the east and the wall, and then it broke, it's still unsettled, the consciousness over there. And I like that consciousness. My now partner has been 8 years in Berlin working. She's from Australia and working in hospitality over there. And she brought me to Berlin, and she opened my eyes to Berlin. I think Berlin is a great place.
I like to hear that because I am from Berlin originally. So it's a very nice place in that sense.
Yes. And the consciousness is not rigid. It's not completely settled yet. I can notice that. It is more like the Amsterdam of 25, 30 years ago. It's still open. And I like that. I like that. I like that a lot.
And, you found that when you were 17, moving to Amsterdam, and I think also something else, something significant happened in your life when you were 17.
Oh, yes. This is where I, for the first time, came in contact with ice water, cold water.
How did that happen?
Yes, a Sunday morning, me pondering in my brain about, life itself again. In life, when you begin to ponder and philosophize and think about it, you got millions of thoughts at your disposition, and no thought will really make the way. So I was debating again within myself, pondering. Sunday morning, nobody in the street. There I walk, and I felt the attraction to go into the cold water. And I saw this thin layer of ice on the water. I went in.
It was a pond, yes, somewhere in a park, or what kind of water was it?
Yes, a Beatrix Park in Amsterdam. So actually in the middle of the city. That is where I found my opening to the inner nature of myself, the depth of myself, the connection with deeper physiology, like a feeling we're going in, made me feel not only powerful, it made me feel this is it. But not, I was not thinking about it, but that was the feeling. And when a feeling like this is it happens to a person, the person knows. That transcends the thought. It's there, boom, inside. And that happened there when I was 17. And from there, every day, in every winter, I've been challenging myself, going into the cold water, because the cold water really makes this connection, this deep connection between the mind and the body, really vivid, really present. And that's, I love it. I never lost a connection with that ever. But there it began. People thought I was crazy. So 25 years I've been doing ice discipline with myself, all kinds of flexibility exercises outside in the winter, like snoga instead of yoga, snoga. And I go into the cold water and do my breathing exercises and stay for 5 to 7 minutes under the ice every day, very controlled. I had it all in control, and it made me aware of a deeper physiology unknown to anybody or anything. And then after 25 years of doing it alone, barely I was talking to somebody about it, because everybody had an aversion against the cold. Then I came in connection through the newspaper in an article, and then the television came. A lot of television. And I was able to show things spectacularly on television that people liked very much. And then the television began to challenge me. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you swim 20 meters under the ice? Can you swim 50 meters under the ice? Can you swim 100 meters under the ice? Can you stay for an hour in the ice? Can you hang by one finger up in the air in the middle of the winter? 1 kilometer between two hot air balloons, just by one finger. Can you run marathons beyond the polar circle and in the desert too without drinking? Can you climb the Mount Everest in your shorts? Now tell me, who is crazy?
Either the media asking you to do all this kind of stuff, or maybe you. We will
find out. I was open to challenges.
Yes,
I was open to challenges. But they came up with the ideas every time. And at a certain moment, I came up with the ideas myself. Because I began, soon I began to learn that I was capable of complying to all their requests. And so as I did it, I saw stepping stones for more things to do.
And of course, I want to get into some of the stepping stones. But before getting there, I would like to remain for a little more in the beginning of the whole story, if you don't mind, because I think this is really a very special and powerful moment to imagine a 17-year-old wandering the streets of Amsterdam, ruminating about the meaning of life, and then seeing randomly, it seems like, a frozen pond, jumping in, feeling the sense of a deep connection, and afterwards, due to this impact, changing his life more or less.
Yes.
Can you at all put into words what happened this day with you in the pond? Because, of course, this feeling, this sensation that you got, I would guess, didn't really answer explicitly any of the questions you were asking yourself back then about life, about philosophy. But you found something.
Anything you ask yourself is not the answer. That is always the irrationality, the nature of irrational rationality coming from your soul, from the depth of yourself. It goes past your thinking. And in my case, it was the cold. The cold is merciless but righteous. That's what I always say. And what I mean with that, it doesn't ask you anything. It makes you shut up. It makes you shut up. Just survive. Just adapt. Just surrender. Let it go. Let it go. No thinking, no control, let it go. And then your body is suddenly able to emerge from the depth inside and adapt to this new power, which is overwhelming. And then you find this inner power. The cold is just a mirror. The cold is the trigger. But the power which emerges from the depth, connecting with the brain, with your awareness, that is amazing. And I learned how to control that through regular practice afterwards. At the moment when I went in for the first time, I knew this is it. This is amazing. This is more than amazing. It's a strong, strong feeling. It's like when you are in love, you don't ask yourself, is this my love? Is this the person I like, really? And do I want to go over there? What is the meaning of this? No, you fly. You go. You go from A to B as fast as possible. And you pump yourself a little bit up. You make yourself beautiful or something. And then you go warm like an arrow. You don't think. This is what I got from going into the ice water. It gave me that edge, that new power that is not touched by nobody, nothing. That is what I wanted. I always call the cold a noble force because it brought me back into my innocence. It brought me back in something clean, something transparent, something non-corruptible. That is a feeling, and that feeling stayed all day, like a rush in my, that's what I always say to people, be high on your own supply. We have all these hormones. When we become unattached to our depth, emerging to our awareness, they can call it Zen or Satori or enlightenment, etc. There are no thoughts. It's coming from the depth. And then it reaches your awareness, and you are just there with the meaning of life fully fulfilled. It's there. It's neurology. And that neurology touched me that day.
Yeah, you got a first taste of that day, and it led to a life dedicated in some sense to this transformative power of the cold.
Yes.
But as you have also already mentioned, you kept it largely to yourself for quite a while, until I believe, until the TV channels showed up. But I think also the year of 1995 was pretty impactful in this sense. And my question is, if you would mind talking about that year and what happened.
Sure. My wife jumped from 8 stories down. That is the mother of my 4 children. And the way she became to commit herself to this suicide, that was also a year's trajectory of depression, becoming manic depressed, and again getting pills, getting medicines, getting treatment, getting injections, biologicals or whatever, and it only got worse. The whole psychiatry did not know how to handle that. And I also was incapable. I was helpless. I was doing my things, you know, my disciplines and all, but she and I had 4 children with her.
And then, you were left to raise these 4 children on your own.
I was left to raise these 4 children. And, you know, these 4 children made me survive. But the cold really healed me. Because in the cold, you don't think. You become still. You survive. That gave me relief of my heart broken being every day, because the agony of your love not being there is real. It's neurological damage and it's painful. It's a nagging pain. It keeps on coming into your brain. And you're going into the cold stills the mind. That's what I've learned, how to still the very damaged emotion, the heartbreak, the heartbroken being, I learned to heal it through the cold. And now it shows. Now it shows in brain scans. When I submit myself to experiments, scientific experiments, like in America recently, and it's all published. It's the psychology over physiology. I learned to voluntarily, at will, to control my emotion, to control the stress by will, at will. And that was shown by bringing cold water to my skin, and where normally, or 74 people all showed that their skin temperature went down after exposure of the stressor, the cold, on the skin, and they could only use their mind. No deep breathing, no contraction of muscles, because you can see that on the monitors of the measurement devices and monitoring devices in the brain scans room. So they are checking it while I'm in the brain scans, and like all these 74 others. And when I was doing nothing, then I was reacting to the cold water as all the 74 people the same way. Cold comes in on the skin temperature, you feel stress in the brain. Then certain areas of the brain related to stress, that is the prefrontal cortex, is very much activated. Insula, which is the nice feeling, very cold, like blue. Prefrontal cortex, very red. And that was the brain scan. But then they asked me, Wim, can you now do what the Iceman is doing? And actually, I did not know what to do. But then that day, I remembered I was on the Mount Everest. I was on Kilimanjaro. I was in the under the ice. I was in the air hanging by one finger in the middle of the winter and staying for 2 hours in the ice. And I was always confident because before I go, I use the power of my intention. And that power of intention makes me able to control what is going to happen. It makes the body ready for that what is going to happen. And I remembered that morning. And then I went to the university. That was day two. So day one, I acted like everybody else. And day three, I got into the brain scan. And then they got the cold water on my skin. And my skin.
So just to explain, if you say cold water on the skin, it doesn't mean a few drops on your belly or something like that, but you were really in ice water, right?
They poured ice water into tubes. And those tubes are directly in connection, in contact with your skin. Mm-hmm. So they are like popsicles, like cold, really cold. So you can only use the power of your intention. You can only use your thought, the power of the mind.
No muscle activation or anything.
Nothing else. Mm-hmm. And if you experience some cold, et cetera, distress, yeah, then it's done. But that day I showed, after pouring in the cold ice water into the tubes, in contact with my skin, like with all the 74 others, who could not make the skin temperature not going down after exposure of the cold water. Now my skin temperature did not go down. It stayed 1 degree more than the beginning. And it stayed over there while the cold water came in. And the professor, who was in charge of the pump to bring more ice cubes into the water, he had to bring in more ice cubes because I was warming up the water just by the power of my intention. Do you see? That is the power of the intention. And then they said, after looking inside my brain, that I was activating a spot which was considered to be inaccessible by humans at will. And that is the periaqueductal gray hemisphere, which is responsible for the secretion of cannabinoids and opioids. And I was robustly activating that. So instead of stress being very activated, I had no stress at all. And you could see that in the brain scans. And my insula was very active, and my periaqueductal, or the most primitive part of the brain, was highly, robustly activated. And then they said after in the study, this is a transformational technique that will change mental health care. And they said that we found the compelling evidence of the key components of the autonomous processes in the brain. Autonomous means outside of the will. Now, we found the key components of the autonomous processes in the brain related to mood regulation. If I had known that technique in the time with my wife in 95, she would never have had needed to go free herself of the terror of her mind by jumping down from 8 stories down, leaving her kids after having kissed them goodbye. It was a good mother, only the whole psychiatry doesn't know what to do with some cases, and a lot more of people in anxiety and suicidal thoughts and depression, they don't know. I found the answer. I found the answer together with the School of Medicine in Michigan, Wayne State University, with the professors over there, Professor Otto Musik and Vaibhav, Professor Vaibhav Divyakar. We found it. Only the whole world doesn't want to really know, because you cannot earn any money if you bring in natural methods. Now, I'm continuing, Eric, because recently I went to Australia, where there is the most, the highest rate of suicides. I went there and I introduced the techniques in a clinic, and they are doing the study right now in Australia on 42 biological parameters in people with suicidal thoughts. And they really want to commit suicide because they live in the terror in the mind, completely out of control, without a sense of control. I bring back the sense of control. Right now, too, we are doing research in San Francisco on the DNA with top researchers in the with the UCSF in San Francisco. And they are doing great work, and very soon the results will come. And also on depression. What I mean to say is that in 95, I was helpless. But through going into nature, I found not only a way to calm myself, to still myself, and to find happiness back in myself, heal my broken heart, but now I found the ways, natural ways, to bring them to the people who are helpless, who are into depression, who are into psychosis, bipolar, schizophrenia, call it. Because we don't get the right schooling in our schools. We learn about geography, we learn about mathematics and language, but we don't learn about happiness, strength, and health. And I am determined to bring that now. I'm a dropout of school. I teach doctors and professors all over the world. That's my story. And it all began by, hey, there is more than meets the eye. There is a soul there, and nobody talks about it. It's also abstract. I think we are the rightful owners of our mind, only we lost our control of our mind because we are not cultivating it the right way. We should learn about happiness, strength, and health from the primary school, because that is, in the end, more important than how much money you get in the bank and how much pollution you can make and how much you can exploit the world and how insensitive and individualistic you can become. That system needs to stop, And it is into stopping now, because the one crisis after the other will come until the people will learn that we are here living with a purpose. And the purpose is to fulfill, realize your soul, and then you are able to pass it on to your sons and your daughters, which is the right schooling, the schooling of freedom, the schooling of happiness, of strength, of the source of health. It's all there, the creativity to see every day as a wonder of life. That's the way it all began. And then I got this in 95, losing the love of my life. And then I had to regain it all. I'm happy again, and I'm healing thousands, or hundreds of thousands of people through this method. And this method is like, it's not mine. I just found something in nature. And I tell you, if we go back to nature, then we realize that we, in ourselves, in our depth, we have so much more than we thought possible. And that is the answer. It's almost full circle now that I'm able to take where I was helpless in 95. And now I'm not helpless anymore. I'm better than any psychiatrist. I'm able to bring people through natural methods back into an absolute sense of control within their own brain. What I'm always saying, you are the rightful owner of your own brain, the seat of the mind. Learn to own your own mind. Okay.
That was a very powerful story. I want to be honest. I want to have an honest conversation.
Yes.
I tend to be more on the rational side of things. So I am very much interested in science. I'm very much interested in scientific proof and process, but I'm also very interested in spirituality and how people think about that. What I'm trying right now in my mind is based on what you have just said, to figure out where to place that, what you have said. Mm-hmm. So my question would be, because you argue based on the scientific successes that you have had in your collaboration with very reputable universities in the whole world to showcase that what you tell us is working.
Yes.
At the same time, there have been so many studies in the past about psychology. You say that you are now better and more successful than all the psychiatrists and all the studies that have been done before to try to solve the problem of depression, which of course is not one problem in my understanding. You probably know more about it, but depression can have so many facets, so many faces, and so many reasons.
Yes, of course. It has many, as many people suffer from it, as many sides and angles. You can maybe describe a typology, you know, a certain type and things. But in the end, we are talking individuals. And individuals have always their own story. And this is what I bring to those people. I give them a breath. I give them space. I give them a inner connection, a absolute sense of control over their own biochemistry, and learn them how to handle their thoughts. Their thoughts, they create stress within them, and how to break these loops of stress, how to get a better connection, control over the stress mechanisms in the brain.
And would that mean that similar results potentially could be achieved through other kinds of meditation?
Yes, this is why they compared the results of the brain scans of what I've shown together with people who are doing 4 hours of mindfulness for years. If you do these breathing techniques, then within 10 minutes you go deeper than people who exercise 4 hours a day for years. So the thing is, when you go into the cold, when you go into these deep breathing, hypoxic state, alkaline states, and spike so much into the adrenal axis, you go really into the depth of the depth of the brain. And where's the problem with the depressions and mood and emotions? It's inside the depth of our brain. If we cannot really get into that depth of our brain, how are we then able to regulate it? That is then becoming a random process or a process which needs medicines and pills, but they work very not unprecise. They make people dull. They are not taking away the cause, because the cause is mostly psychosomatically, like from trauma, from deep inhibitions, from deep fears, maybe from an accident, PTSD, a lot of causes. But in the end, it is the emotion. And when you get with pills, they just suppress something chemically. What I give people is a tool to open up themselves to the depth of their emotion, of their hypothalamus, of their hippocampus, of the amygdala, of the periaqueductal gray hemisphere. Those are words, but those are situated in the depth of the brain. See, there are the emotions. There is even the soul, the epiphysis, the seed of the soul. And spirituality, I say, fuck spirituality. Fuck science. We are talking about life. And I wish and I see and I will continue until I'm able to give non-dogmatically every person in the world a choice. Do you want to be happy, strong, and healthy? Go and find your connection within. Here you have the tools. And those tools I will keep on verifying with scientific comparative studies to show that there is no speculation about it. That we are able not only to go into the depth, the deepest part of the brain, but with that we show if we are able to go into the deepest part of the brain consciously, then where else can we not go? This is what I have now shown, and this is the beginning of an era, the threshold of our capabilities to go willfully into our own brain. This is actually what should be taught in any school. So for nobody to lose track in his own mind ever. So there I am. Science, I love science. I love spirituality. No, I love life. Let's stop with what is real and what is not real, etc. No, we are talking life. And life should be there, accessible for every person in the world to be happy, strong, and healthy, and to have a real firm control through the control within their own mind.
And this what you just outlined is the philosophy behind what you call the Wim Hof method. And you already outlined some essential elements of that, like breathing and, of course, the cold. Could you explain a little bit further how to learn this and who can learn it if it is not everyone?
Yes, this is very accessible for anyone for any person. Any physiology. We are all having the same vascular system. We all have a heart. We all have a core body temperature. We have a brain. We are all likely more or less the same with organs and all that. So we made a method that is accessible and very effective and beyond speculation, scientifically proven to be very effective to go into the depth of our bodies, say within a half hour. And it is so easy. It is simple. Sometimes it can be not easy because of old blockages or fears or old trauma, which needs cleansing. You need to take this away. This is like psychosomatically. So now we made this method, and I've shown in studies after instructing persons who did not know anything about the method within 4 days to be able to master this method and to receive an injection of a bacteria, which normally in a scientific experiment, thousands of people have become sick after the injection of the bacteria for 3 to 6 hours. This is a controlled experimental model.
It's with the injection of endotoxins, right?
Yes. And but the people I trained within 4 days were able to resist the influence of the bacteria on the immune system because they had found through breathing techniques and through the right mindset, just be with the breath, follow the breath, go deep, follow the instructions a little, and then you will be able to connect with the immune system and effectively activate the immune system in a depth unknown in science. And then suddenly 12 people, after thousands who could not, 12 people, 100% score. And that is where we have shown in science that science has to be updated. We are now able to get into the autonomic nervous system, into the immune system, and the hormonal system, which is related to health, how to act upon bacteria and virus, how to deal with emotions, how to deal with your mood, how to deal with energy. It's all there. This is what we have shown. And anybody can do it. And if you want to learn it, just go on our website. We have a free app. It's a free app. And the app is really elaborated. I mean, it's worked out through professionals. We pay every month 10,000 euros or something, I heard, to get it out. Because we think everybody has the right to learn about a method that is for free and that's very effective and accessible for everybody and scientifically endorsed. There you got it.
Okay. So, and the method is the deep breathing, as you have just said, but also the cold. Of course, the cold is an essential part of it, right?
Yeah. The cold trains. You know, in the animal world, it is actually ridiculous that we are wearing clothes. We wear clothes. But think a little bit about it.
Because we don't have a fur?
It is, of course, because of the cold or something. But now the taboo is you cannot show your little wiener. You cannot show your little vagina. It's all taboo, 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 taboo. And what we have done with clothes is a little bit ridiculous. Killer number one in our society is cardiovascular related diseases. That means our vascular system is never being stimulated anymore through wearing clothes. We are destimulated. We are not protecting our skin. We are having no stimulation, no trigger, no training of our vascular system, which needs the trigger, which needs the stimulation to uptone the millions of little muscles in the vascular system. What happens in the vascular system when you go into a cold shower is that these million little muscles are getting into a condition that they become strong. They make the contraction and opening of the vascular system, of the capillaries, the arteries and the veins, and they help the heart rate go down with 20 to 30 beats a minute. Then you have no stress. You have no stress. And what happens with the blood flow through these uptoned little primitive muscles, millions of them, because it is 100,000 kilometers of little blood vessels inside every body of us. And they contain these little muscles. And they, when once they are stimulated through going into cold showers, then the heart rate is going down with 20 to 30 beats a minute, 24 hours a day. That means stress will go away. And then the blood flow will go a lot better through the system, reaching out to all the cells, giving much better the oxygen, the nutrients, the vitamins, the life force itself. And then you get a lot more energy. And so it is. So we show that through gradual cold exposure, because I don't say shockingly go into ice water and all that. No, begin with 30 seconds cold shower and then lengthen it to 2 minutes. That's enough. And you can take 2 weeks over it. But you will see it's addictive, because so much more energy you will get and so much more relaxed you are going to be within yourself, because your heart rate is drastically going down. It's amazing what it does. Just a cold shower. It's training the transportation system within us. In each and every one of us, 100,000 kilometers. That means it is everywhere. And we are wearing clothes all the time. And when it's hot, we do the air conditioning. We never stimulate our own vascular system anymore. It has become weak. And who has to pay for that? That's our heart. It's beating too many times. And then cortisol gets too many. When the heart rate goes up, then the secretion of glucose and cortisol comes in the body. That may, because there is danger. The heart only goes up when there is danger. Now we live in continuous danger because the heart rate is too much up, because our vascular system, these little muscles, are not stimulated. They are weak. That is a danger. And that's why we have the cardiovascular related diseases as killer number one. It kills more than any war. And it's happening all the time. And now we come up, and you know, in Germany, Pfarrer Kneipp, a long time ago, he was working with the cold and compressors and the heat and things with temperature. He was right. He was right. I take it a step beyond. I take also the breathing. I take the breathing and show it through science that suddenly we are able to connect deeply within us the way nature meant it to be. That is to have the power willfully against disease, against depressions, to be in control over our mood, to be strong in our energy, and serve our families, because we understand what the purpose of life is. It is to live fully.
What does it mean for you to live fully today? What does happiness mean to you personally?
I like this podcast very much. And then, this is very good. Thank you for that. And then, I love my wife, and I love my little kid and my dog and the goldfish. And I saw the sun this morning with the golden sun, especially in the Netherlands, when, you know, like in Germany up there in the north with a lot of clouds and the whole winter. Then when the spring is coming, it's like diamonds are being thrown, much better than diamonds. The beautiful sun is coming. And with the sun, it is touching the earth, and you feel that the earth is beginning to become alive. All the liquids of the trees go up and in, and the flowers starting. It's bursting life. That is fully alive. In the tropics, you don't see that as much as here in the northern regions. The spring is so beautiful. It's amazing. It's amazing what is happening. And I can't, it's a feeling. It transcends words. It's a feeling. And that feeling makes me go into the garden and just to be one with it all.
Do you ever have the feeling that you would like to go back for a few moments, or a few minutes or hours or days to this communal building that you lived in Amsterdam when you were young?
Yes, I see what you mean. But now I'm creating this with millions of people. And it is a commune. And people understand now that we are free thinkers, and we should stop the nonsense. We are like consciously against that what is exploiting the planet, ongoing, keep on in his staggering ignorance, polluting the planet, sodomizing the planet, and individualizing the people. Where is the happiness? Where is the strength? Where's the health? All that needs to be now getting on the forefront. And people like yourself show that we have a deeper nature. And when it gets out, it makes a person beautiful. And every person in the world is beautiful if he comes from the heart. This is what I've seen in all the retreats I do. And I have an academy where I teach people to become instructors. I thought they have to learn about the science and this and protocols. And at a certain moment in the master's course, I said, drop it all. Just talk from your heart. And then you see how beautiful every person is.
Yeah, I asked the Amsterdam question because it seemed to me just in this moment when I asked it that you have indeed recreated a community much larger, of course, now consisting of many of the elements that you appreciated so much in this place in Amsterdam all these years ago.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it is also time. I'm just appealing to a inner nature, which is not like like the sheep going with the whole stream and the politics and the power systems and the way they control us and control the monetizing system, monetize everything and make people buy stuff all the time into this consumerism and the cruelty to animals and the disrespect to the world and keep on exploiting it. No. We have to stop this nonsense and get into sense. I want to understand why I am here fully and be happy, strong, and healthy. Otherwise, what am I going to teach my children? To do the same as everybody and to run like lemmings into the sea? No, this stupid ignorance is not catching me. I now found...
That's a good sentence, by the way. The stupid ignorance is not catching me. I like that. But sorry, I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah, or staggering ignorance. We have found ways now through science that we are capable of having a control far deeper than ever thought possible in science. And they should use it in regular healthcare, both mental healthcare and physical healthcare. And it is coming from a birthright to be happy, strong, and healthy. And that is the way we should be able to guarantee to our kids and everybody around us. And I'm talking normal, natural sense. I don't take it no more that war is normal, that tensions are normal, that disease is normal, that abuse of children is normal, and all those things ongoing, and apparently nobody is able to stop that. I am going to stop that. I'm going to give the people a choice based in science, non-speculatively, evidence-based, proven, that we are able to have the absolute control or to become happy, strong, and healthy. Happy, that is about the hormonal system. Strong is about the energy generating principles of mitochondria in the cell. We have shown this. And then you got the health, which is the control of the immune system layers. And we have shown how to do that. So it's actually all there. And this should be taught from the beginning in the schools. Happiness, strength, and health is up to you. And not to lose it ever. We are born with it. Where it goes wrong, we have to make that straight right again. Because we have to stop the nonsense. And for that, it is good that I'm talking right now. Because you, with your podcast, that is a window. And that window I'm using to get to the people. Hey, guys, we found it. We found it together. And I thank Eric for being able to talk to you and to spread it. Just check it out. It is for free, and it is a free ride to be happy, strong, and healthy. And really, you do this, and within a half hour, your feeling is the understanding. Then you will feel different. It's like I say, I don't care what you think. I make you feel better. Then, in turn, when you feel better, you don't care what you think. You make others feel better. And then it's going to be very soon, like the coronavirus, but in this time, it's happiness, strength, and health. And it will spread all over the world.
Yes, that would be very nice. Wim, would you mind finishing off this conversation with me with a little lightning round of questions that I just give to you? I just will give you some prompts.
Good, yes.
Something that makes me hopeful is?
Hopeful? Oh, that it really is happening. The paradigm shift is happening. And I'll keep on going, scratching, making the burst in the big walls. And I'll keep on. Very soon, it will break open, and a tsunami of happiness will come to you.
May I ask you, Wim, just as a break from this lightning round, where do you get this positivity and I would even say extreme ambition from? Do you know where that comes from within you? Because to take the Wim Hof method and really have the ambition. And I think, I mean, probably you are confronted with skeptics and critics a lot as well, as with the followers and people who admire what you're doing. I think to go from this method to having the ambition to ending wars and disease and so on, for some people will be challenging to absorb.
Yes, of course. For all those who could not realize, manifest their feeling of freedom, good people. For all those who died because they could not heal themselves, I'm fighting. I'm fighting and I will not cease. I will prevail. I will win. I will make this world a better place. Absolutely. Before I go, the soul is there and it is all based in science. So I will bring a non-dogmatic choice for everybody in the world. And I'm not going to stop. I don't stop anymore. This is it. I'm in life. I have no fear. What I say, I do not fear to die. I do fear not to live. I live every day fully. I'm fully on. I'm a man on a mission. I want to make everybody happy, and I will show how to do it. There is no doubt.
My advice number one is...
Take a cold shower every morning, 2 minutes, build it up to 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes even, and you will feel great. And then know that you are the alchemist of your own biochemistry within deep breathing, deep conscious breathing. And then at last, become happy, strong, and healthy. That is done consciously. It's neurology. You are the owner of your own mind. Take the steer wheel over. It's your own brain. Don't let it be influenced by bullshit. You are the one to steer it in the road of happiness, strength, and health.
I find it difficult to...
I find it difficult to bring this to the world after so much evidence I've been showing and then keep on frustrating. Why do they not take it up? Why don't they do so much more with the evidence, like the autonomic nervous system can be influenced, which was considered to be impossible in medical science for hundreds of years? Now we change the whole of perspective. Why are they not implementing, taking it on? Do they not really want natural methods to be able to do so much more against disease, both mentally and physically? So it's very difficult to succumb to the idea of these people who keep on going in this staggering, ignorant establishment. But I keep on going. I have learned to bear being crazy, according to all those people, for decades. And now I see them, those who have always been lamenting and criticizing I see them as stupid. So it's difficult sometimes to wait, but I'm exercising patience together with the determination every day as a man on the mission to make the change happen.
And the last one, when I think about the future.
When I think about the future, then I tell you, the future is ours. The future is happiness, strength, and health. It's harmony with nature. That's the future. And we are the future. We are going through science. We show that sense, that is time for sense, not for nonsense. It is time for sense. And in this sense, nobody likes war. Nobody likes abuse of children. Nobody likes to exploit the world and see the burning of our forests and the extermination of all the animals. Nobody really likes it, but everybody thinks he cannot do anything. We are the change, and we are the change possibly by go within. And I can provide tools. They are not mine. They are from nature, and they are scientifically endorsed, so you can make just use of it. So what is the future? It's us. And the future will be with the one who will stay within his belief to make this world a better place.
Very nice, Wim. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your energy and especially, of course, the time that you have given us this evening.
Thanks, Eric. You're doing great work. And everybody should know that everybody who's listening, they are also interested. They are also working on the light, on the future. And the future is ours, and we take it on, and we inform ourselves until we really get this control in every moment. Every person in the world is a good one. It comes from the heart. And we have to take away the covers from the heart. And that's what we do with these podcasts.
Great.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Thank you.
Okay, Eric. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.